CampPL.ca newsroom for this week. Marty Thompson, Charlie O'Connor Clark, and John Molinier of CampPL.ca. John has a personal announcement in a couple minutes. We'll talk a little bit about the Canadian women's national team first. And I don't know, it's not about buying tickets to see a Grateful Dead tribute concert when concerts do come back. Do they even have those, John?
They do. Do they have
tribute bands?
Oh yeah.
That seems pretty involved. Like when you need like 40 members and like the whole thing, or how does it work?
No, it's just that there's several bands, and in fact, several members of the original Grateful Dead, they have like their offshoot band now called Dead and Company, which John Mayer is a member of. So it's like pretty big. And So John Mayer is like part of the band, and I actually saw Dead and Company on tour in Boston. It would have been 5 years ago at Fenway Park of all places, which was the only way you'd ever get me into the baseball stadium is to see a but it was cool. It was kind of really good just to see sort of members of the band and like John Mayer sort of play. It's an interesting dynamic, but it was really good. They're a really smoking band.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, you could put anything Grateful Dead in a stadium and I think it would sell out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you don't have to give it to me. So
We'll get more from you about when concerts come back and which Grateful Dead, Dead and Company or whatever they come back to. John Mayer would be a fun live show.
Anyways, yeah,
oh, big time.
Yeah. The Canadian Women's National Team, two big friendlies this weekend, sort of. First game on Friday against Wales, pretty much as we're recording this. So as you're listening to it, results probably already happened. And then the big one, the more important one, obviously, coming up against England next week. We'll talk about these two games obviously sort of as a package deal because they're coming into the Olympics. Bev Priestman, again, she's only had what, three games? This is her fifth. John, maybe we'll start with you. I know that you've been talking to Bev and then also to Ashley Lawrence, I believe, was on one of those pressers. Like, what are they talking about right now in terms of what this squad looks like going into Wales and England, and then what maybe some of the goals are at this point?
Well, from what Bev was saying, it sounds like, you know, there's not going to be a terrible amount of experimentation here. You have to remember that the Olympics is, what, a couple months away? So there's not a lot of run-up time left. I mean, the clock is slowly ticking down. So, you know, from what she was saying, it sounds like, you know, she knows, you know, she wants to sort of start and build sort of team chemistry and sort of rhythm and have the team gel. So I think you're going to see, you know, not too many sort of new faces in the lineup, not too much experimentation. So I think you'll see a very familiar lineup. The fact that, you know, Christine Sinclair and Ashley Lawrence are back in the lineup, suspect they're going to start, I think. Although, you know, Bev says that there are no locks and there are no guaranteed spots on the Olympic roster. I think if there were two locks, then they, you know, Ashley Lawrence and Christine Sinclair would certainly Buchanan at this camp because of injury, but again, I think another block. So yeah, I think you're going to see a very familiar Canadian lineup as Bev tries to build some sort of momentum going into the Olympics. But again, there's not much time left to prepare, so I think she's got to sort of like focus on just solidifying her, you know, her starting 11 and getting these players familiar again, because remember, they haven't played all that much together in the last sort of year. I mean, before She Believes Cup, it had been a year since they had played a competitive game together. So I think just getting the players on the field and having them gel and come together at this critical time is, you know, first and foremost on her mind.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, Charlie, I'm not sure if you had anything to add to that specifically. Like, you know, there are some players that have something to gain coming in, because what the Olympic squad is it not 18 players? I think it's 18 players, right? So yeah. So it's so slim. And like I was texting with some people this morning being like, you know, Vanessa Gilles, for example, like her best bet is to be a third center back, and then that's probably it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. the cutoff is so slim. What are some players, like, who should we be looking out for that, you know, are really going to be looking to perform at this camp?
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, a few spots maybe up for grabs. I mean, first of all, if somebody does come out in this pair of friendlies other than Sinclair, of course, and just start scoring a ton of goals, then you probably have to put them on the team immediately, because it's not necessarily something that Canada was doing very well at a She Believes Cup, right? I mean, just so many of those missed chances. It feels like a long time ago now, but I can remember just how frustrating it was to watch them create all these great chances and just not finish them. So if somebody, I think basically whoever does just put the ball in the net in these games is going to win them a spot. I'm a little interested in maybe the fullback positions. I mean, I think Elish Chapman is obviously as close as you can get to a lock as well. But then at any other fullback spot, I mean, you wonder if maybe Ashley Lawrence is usually the fullback, but maybe she's going into midfield a little bit to maybe make space for a Jade Riviere or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think those are the kinds of spots in this camp that are maybe places you can experiment. I mean, as John said, there isn't a lot of room to experiment, but there's definitely maybe certain parts of the team where you can play around a little bit to find out how best to get how to get your 11 best players on the field together, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's definitely things that they're going to be keeping an eye on to try and, you know, optimize.
Yes, Ashley Lawrence, I asked her that this week about her sort of preferred position, because of course she can play in midfield and fullback on either side. And, you know, she said point blank that she's been starting, regularly for PSG at right fullback, and that, you know, her expectation is to, you know, fill in that spot for on the Canadian roster. So be interesting to see how she's deployed in these two games.
Very much so. And then, like, any other players of note in this camp? I know that I don't even think we have a chance to even talk about the players that got called up, Charlie, on last week's episode. I know that Quinn will probably play a big role again. You know, how they were playing in that defensive midfield role that I know, you know, you, Charlie, specifically really down for against the U.S. because it was mm-hmm. a great performance. And, you know, just curious how they will come in. You know, there's a couple other players here that are of note, but just not sure if we want anything to say about the squad itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge point about Quinn. I mean, I think maybe objective number one for Canada, other than scoring goals, has to be getting the ball at the feet of Jesse Fleming. And having Quinn on the pitch is the best way to do that, because they're the most mobile, I think, midfielder that Canada has. They're got a little bit on both sides of the ball. It just kind of creates space for Fleming to go looking for those balls and not have to, you know, maybe think so much about tracking back or supporting, you know, the more defensive players. So I think that's a really important one. There's a few, I mean, I think there's a couple uncapped players in this camp. It'd be kind of interesting to see if Chloe Lacasse gets into either of these games, because she's been kind of similar to Evelyn Veens, but maybe at a slightly lower level. She's been really filling the net for Sporting, I think, in Portugal. Benfica.
Yeah.
Benfica. Which isn't, I mean, it isn't the highest, it's not as high a level as say, France, but, I mean, anybody who's, you know, scoring with that kind of consistency is definitely worth a look.
For me, what's really interesting is who's not there. I mean, obviously, you know, Buchanan, I think, again, barring an industry, I think for sure she's going to be in Tokyo. But what's interesting is that, you know, Diana Matheson isn't there. And, you know, Diana hasn't played a terrible amount of club football or international football for Canada in the last 2 years. And now she's missing these two games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, under normal circumstances, you know, a two-time Olympic bronze medal winner, someone who's played in multiple World Cups, over 200 caps, you know, she'd be a lock for the national team. But again, she hasn't played a terrible amount of football the last 2 years. Does, you know, how does Priestman look at that? I mean, especially with an Olympic roster where it's 18 players and, you know, competition for roster spots are fierce, and you're probably only going to bring five, maybe six midfielders in that team. I mean, you know, I got to ask the question, does Diana Matheson merit a spot considering how little football she's played in the last 2 years? That's a question. I appreciate, you know, everything she's meant for the country and her experience and whatnot, but, you know, do you sort of bring her even though she's played so little the last 2 years? I think that's a question that Priestman is going to have to answer at some point.
Yeah, that's one of those really, really difficult decisions that you have to make if you're a coach. And I think if we were going to say, I mean, what does Canada's, say, best 11 look like right now? I don't think Diana Matheson is necessarily in it at the moment, which is kind of surprising to think about at the moment. But I really think that they're, as John said, as much as Matheson has given the program and as great of a player as she is and has been, I'm not necessarily sure that one spot on the Olympic roster will be best served by going to her over maybe somebody else that might have a bigger impact. I don't know.
Well, and it's interesting. This squad has so many of those sort of fringe midfielders that like have a couple caps. Like I think of like, you know, Jordan Listrow, who just moved within NWSL to, I believe, Kansas City from Orlando, if I'm not mistaken. And then, yeah, obviously Quinn, who, you know, used to be a center back, if I'm not mistaken, as well. Now, you know, maybe sort of taking a role that, you know, where Diana Matheson would have played. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if it's sorry not to interrupt, but if it comes down to Quinn or Matheson at this particular moment, you know, just based on form and like what they've meant for the national team, you know, in recent times, I think you have to go with Quinn over Diana.
Yeah.
Matheson.
It's crazy, yeah. But it makes sense. Yeah. Canada again taking on Wales on Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. That game free on YouTube from One Soccer, and then the big one on Tuesday. I'm not sure if anyone's seen this, but Canada is playing England at Stoke. Will it rain? Will they be able to do it on a rainy night in Stoke?
And Tuesday night too, so there you go.
It's a Tuesday night, yeah, rainy Tuesday night at Stoke. That's, I believe, is 2:15 p.m. Eastern time, again, on One Soccer. Before we let you go, John, I guess we'll have to give you the floor. So today is your last day with CanPL.ca. You'll be moving on, I think, after about 2 years or so. Yeah. Maybe first off, just walk us through like what's next for you and where can people find you and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so I've stepped down as director of content for CanPL.ca today. Today is my last day. As for the future, going to be doing a little bit of freelancing. Still going to be writing, covering and reporting and writing about Canadian soccer, whether it be the CPL, you know, the Canadian men's and women's teams, MLS and the three MLS teams. So still be doing that for a number of sort of outlets. Going to be doing some freelance work for CBC, some freelance work for Sportsnet, where I used to be employed. But then on Monday, I'll also be making a rather big announcement about my future, because I have a pretty exciting project that I'm launching. So stay tuned to Twitter for Monday afternoon. I'll be making a big announcement about that.
What a tease that is. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite moment from covering the CPL from CanPL.ca in 2 years? Like, did you have like a favorite story or anything? This is story time.
yeah. There was a lot of stories that sort of really stuck out. I think, you know, just being at the CPL, the inaugural CPL finals, the first leg in Hamilton, and then traveling to Calgary for the second leg and seeing, you know, Forge hoist the North Star Shield. You know, that was pretty special because it was such a historically significant event. One that kind of flew under the radar, I don't think people really took notice of, was I was out in Halifax for HFX's last home game of 2019, which was pretty cool because, you know, earlier in the year I attended their home opener when I was working at Sportsnet, and I did a big feature story. And, you know, at the time when I did the home opener, I was just blown away by like the atmosphere and how much the city had embraced the team. And I was just curious as to see if, you know, if the Wanderers would be able to sustain that. And by the time I got there in late October for their last home game against Pacific, which was also when Marcel Dion came back from a lengthy injury, you know, it was exactly the same. It was, you know, they were just as passionate about the team. The city was still supporting it. The atmosphere was incredible. So just to see those two sort of bookend moments was pretty special. That was really cool. And a non-CPL one was, you know, being down in Texas for the Olympic women's qualifiers last year, where, you know, Canada not only qualified for the Tokyo Olympics, but where, you know, Christine Sinclair broke the international scoring record. You know, there was only about one or two, you know, Canadian outlets who went down there. And the fact that, you know, canpl.ca was down there for the entire group stage and was able to cover that, you know, pretty in depth and comprehensively, that was pretty special. So those were the moments in the stories that kind of stand out for me, for my own stories. As for other stories, I mean, you know, I think of Charlie's piece on the Cape Breton.
Which one?
The Cape Breton. Oh, yeah. That was really cool, because that's an interesting story, and I don't know that enough people know about, and they should know about mm-hmm. it, because they're really sort of developing some great Canadian soccer players. And then more recently, you know, Marty's story about the Canadian anthem from 1986, I think it was just phenomenal. And seeing that video, a YouTube video, was incredible.
Is it stuck in your head still?
No, I've been able to just get that. But I think that was just like, I remember that 1986 World Cup vividly. And I remember watching the game in 1985 on CBC Live, where they qualified, and being wrapped up in that whole sort of year. And I had no idea about that anthem. Like, when you brought it up to me, whatever it was, about a year ago, I was like, anthem? What? I don't remember any anthem.
John thought I was crazy.
I thought you were crazy.
Like, that's amazing.
I had absolutely no idea what you were talking about. And then when you sort of showed me the video and then sort of told me the backstory, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, let's definitely do a story on this. And then when
you spoke to like four or five people. Yeah. And they all said it was real. So
yeah.
It's not a figment of your imagination. It really did exist.
Yeah.
So, Go ahead, John.
So those, like, other than stories that I didn't do, those were the ones that stand out the most. Oh, I should say Armin Vidakian too. When Ottawa came into was announced, I think was it you and it was Marty, you and Armin who went to Ottawa for the launch. And then a couple of days later, Armin did kind of like a really sort of deep dive, long read on how, you know, the birth of the franchise, how it came to be with Atletico Madrid's involvement and everything. So that was, I thought, an outstanding piece of writing too. So, yeah, it was, you know, I thought, you know, in the close to 2 years that I've been here, we did a lot of good work, and I've been really proud of the website, and it's been great working with you guys. So, you know, it was good times.
Appreciate that, John. Appreciate that. Okay, yeah. Where can people find you? I guess they need to follow you on Twitter at John Molinaro, right?
At John Molinaro. So like I said, you can follow me on Twitter. You know, I'll be posting sort of updates the next couple of days. But Monday, as I said, it'll be the big update where I announce my project. So if I'll give you another hint. I mean, people sort of, I think, know me best for before I came to the CPL. For my Toronto FC beat coverage, because I was on the beat since day one, and I really covered the team in depthly. So what I'll say is that I'll be back on the TFC beat full time, pretty much. So that'll be the announcement coming on Monday. So keep an eye out for that.
I love that. Follow John and set notifications. Be ready for Monday. Okay, John, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
We're joined by Chris Minella of Atletico Ottawa in Madrid. Recently arrived from Ottawa. Chris, maybe my first question is, it's nice to finally have this out there. You're maybe the worst kept secret in the Canadian Premier League history, maybe in Canadian soccer history, that you're going back to Ottawa.
I mean, yeah, I'm super excited. I mean, I'm really happy to be here and finally get announced. It was tough to kind of not officially say things, even though many messages were kind of coming my way. It's like, well, when are you in Ottawa? We know you're there, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know. I'm in Toronto, and then meanwhile we're trying to sort out my place in Ottawa. But it's finally good to just have it out there and be able to talk freely to people and whoever, you know. So it's good, but I'm super excited to be back.
Yeah, because you recently moved to Ottawa, right? Is it before you came to Madrid? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the uncertainty of the season is still up in the air, and it's kind of a factor for my girlfriend and I is you know, when are we going to kind of find our place to move out there? So we just said we might as well get out there, kind of move in, get our stuff settled. So then whatever it may look like, at least we have our spot, we're there, we're settled, and then kind of let the season play out however it may. But at least we got our spot that we're just kind of, life is more normal for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll, that'll be nice for everybody. I think yeah, maybe the big thing that everybody's going to wonder now, I mean, not you're actually technically not in Toronto or Ottawa at the moment, right? You're in Spain.
we were
talking about that a little bit off camera here, but I mean, obviously Ottawa, Atletico Ottawa is training in Spain at these facilities of Atletico de Madrid. What is that like, dude? That must be awesome.
Yeah, it's honestly like none other. Seeing the fields, I mean, I posted one on Instagram, and just the grass is actually unbelievable. It's just so perfect. You know, and they have even another turf pitch behind it. But yeah, just seeing this whole kind of setup and the way they do things, they've definitely done it before type of thing. It's a professional club run by professional people. And they just have the setup right. I mean, you're talking about one of the biggest clubs in the world. So in order, and we get the chance to kind of use their facilities and use what they use is something so special. So, I mean, around the league, it's tough, but for us, it's, you know, we're kind of living lavish right now, which we're super fortunate for.
Well, and it's a bit of a cliche too, right? Every player that will sign with Ottawa for at least the next couple of years, that will always be the thing. It's like, well, this is tied to Madrid, right? And it's something that I think people don't necessarily understand until, like, you get to go to Madrid, right? Like, as a player, how does that sort of factor into your, you know, frankly, your entire life, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's such a huge thing. When do you get this opportunity, right? When am I ever going to get to train within the Atletico Madrid facilities, unless I'm playing for Atletico Madrid, right? It's never going to happen type of thing. So this is a huge draw, obviously, that the club has, and they understand that, because it's one of a kind, right? It's absolutely one of a kind, especially in a new league that's only, you know, going into its third season. So it's an easy draw for players, especially when they understand that the backing is so deep from such a historical club. It's definitely a draw for players to come in, and it was definitely a draw for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be a draw for me if I was a soccer player. But there's probably another draw for you, particularly because you've been in Ottawa before, right? You've got pretty good history there with the Fury. I mean, how excited are you to just be coming back to that city? I mean, I'm sure that you probably know TD Place Stadium better than probably any of your new Ottawa teammates, yeah. Right?
yeah, exactly. I'm super happy to be back. You know, my 2 years there were some of the best years of my life. I made absolutely like some of the best friends I've ever made in my life. You know, the fans were super receptive to us. You know, you can tell that's a soccer community, and that the want for soccer is definitely there in Ottawa. And for me personally, it's an easy transition. It's literally like going home again. You know, when I moved back to York last year, it was easy, but this year just seems even easier. It's weird because I'm almost more used to this, because it's been my most recent history. So kind of going back there is so fun for me, because I loved it so much, and I'm just so happy that I'm actually in a place that I feel is the best for me right now.
Favorite part of Ottawa off the pitch?
I mean, there's so many good places. It's small, but it's not like Toronto, but it's small. But for me, it's the Lansdowne area. I maybe because I'm biased, the stadium is there. You know, you got like Joey's, a local restaurant kind of thing. And I lived there. So I lived there for 2 years in the past. And then I also found a spot right in the Glebe area. I'm biased. I'm biased. So I'll say the Glebe Lansdowne is kind of definitely my favorite.
You didn't say Kettleman's, eh?
Well, listen, and that's obviously the biggest draw. I mean, people know me from my time at Ottawa when I was like just like grinding away to try to get some free bagels from them, and they just never budged. So, listen, I'm not gonna give them any more recognition until I get at least one free bagel, and then you know what? I'm all in.
Kettleman's is on notice. That's unreal. Yeah. So wait, so you were just doing like, you were just doing free like guerrilla marketing for them, like online?
I mean, we did headshots with the Fury at the time. And I remember that I did a keep up with my knee, and the ball was up in the air, and I was looking at it, and I replaced it with a bagel. I like kind of, and I tagged them, and And then they read it, they saw the message, and then they liked it, and they said, like, this is amazing, and then that was it. And then, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm done.
I love that. I love get that.
On. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, get this guy a bagel.
Right? Come on.
And then, yeah, I guess, like, your impressions on this team so far, there's obviously players there that are about to be announced in the coming weeks, and that'll be rolled out. And, you know, I don't want you to spoil too much in terms of those names, but what's your impression on this team so far that you can finally get together, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, the team looks solid. You know, Fernando and Mista obviously did their homework throughout the offseason. I know last year they were kind of under pressure to put a squad together for the Island Games, and you know, with all due respect, they did very well for the time they had to sort out a squad. Now this year, Fernando, Mista, and the rest of the front office obviously had a lot more time to sit down and realize the positions they need to fill in. And you know, they've done really well. I mean, from the week we've been here training, we look like a solid team. You know, we got guys fighting for positions, which is always good. It brings out the best in guys. And yeah, and our squad looks pretty deep. So I'm kind of excited to get the rest of the announcements out. So I don't have to talk in vagueness and secrets. But yeah, we have a good team, and I'm really excited for this season to start.
Yeah. Just what are these training sessions like? I mean, obviously it's still a fairly new team. I mean, Mista's second year as a first team head coach. Like, are you picking up some Spanish from this, or what's it all
I'm definitely trying to. you know, obviously we're here, so they're Spanish everywhere, and I'm trying to pick up the words. But you know what, Mista's great. I mean, he actually speaks quite a bit of English, so it's easy to communicate with him. But even on, like, the sports science side, how the training sessions have been, they're spot on. It's so professional. You know, the way they're kind of easing our way into the season is been perfect, because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't necessarily have a firm start date, so we don't want to start ramping things up too early, and then we find out we have a bunch of time still to come before our first match. So they're smart. I mean, it's getting back everyone kind of getting rolling and getting their touches back, you know, getting that sharpness in. So then whenever we do have that start date, the official start date, that then we can kind of start progressing with the more kind of higher intensity stuff and get the sharpest we can be for that opening day.
And then what's off the field look like? I know you're sort of doing this outside just to tease everyone, I think, but, like, is that, so you, is everyone just sort of bunking together? Like you said, you're kind of up in the mountains or something, right?
Yeah.
About an hour away from Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah. We're up in a mountain right now. So we're training in the altitude. Off the field is kind of just a normal, kind of preseason grind, where it's, you know, you have a lot of free time. You're playing a bunch of cards. You're kind of just sitting around, you know, they've got some video games, Netflix. So it's kind of the normal preseason kind of schedule where you get a bunch of free time in the afternoon if you don't have a double session type of thing, but just the normal. I mean, we're not going out and about. Obviously COVID is still around and it's still very much like here and not going away yet, so we still got to be careful as much as we can. We don't want to hinder our training by any means with doing kind of silly things.
And you haven't picked up FIFA again?
Here and there. I mean, I mean, at York, I kind of got blown out of the water in that tournament. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to turn it off and then I'm just going to give it a rest. I've been playing a lot of Mario and Mario Kart and stuff like that with some of my teammates here. But other than that, I've just been kind of staying away from FIFA.
And I should mention that I remember doing an Instagram Live conversation with you like a couple months ago, or near the start of the pandemic. And I remember I texted Manny, I'm pretty sure your former teammate at York now with Pacific, just being like, just give me something on Chris. And he just said, ask him how much money he spent in FIFA Ultimate Team. And then I told this story quite recently, Chris, because I'm not sure if you remember, you told me you spent $0, which made me laugh.
Yeah. And I'm sticking to my guns. I spent $0. I have no idea what Manny's talking about. This guy, he's making up lies, and I'm sticking to that story.
$0. $0.
Zero. Zero. My credit card has never seen the PlayStation store ever. So I just, it's never been.
I love that. Denial is perfect. Yeah, yeah. And this is, of course, as the ECPL finals are getting set here in the next couple weeks. I know Max Ferrari entered, your former teammate, and he got blown out of the water as well. So did I. Mm-hmm. So There's actually good FIFA players in that loop. Okay, before we let you go, Chris, I asked you before, give us a call to a recommendation. I suggested it be Canadian. Doesn't have to be. Movies,
yeah,
shows, anything like that?
Could be Spanish.
Tough. I mean, right now, honestly, I'm watching The Challenge. I remember I had an interview earlier or last year with Curtis Larson. I told him I was watching Love Island. Obviously, destroyed all of the seasons with that, and went through that almost immediately. The Challenge has been my go-to right now. So if you want to go through that, The Challenge is mine, my favorite right now.
What is that? What is it?
It's another spinoff of like almost like these MTV reality shows where they do kind of, you know, these hard kind of challenges, these physical challenges as well. They live in a house together, and it's a whole mess, but it's definitely fun to watch. In terms of movies recommendations, it's a tough one. I mean, I'm just going to go with my personal favorite, and you know, guys have already told me they hate that kind of stuff, but I mean, Avengers Endgame has been my like favorite. And it's, you know, I think it came out 2 or 3 years ago, but I'm just going to go with that one. Like, that's the one that came to my head first. I'm just going to stick to my guns. That's got to be, my biggest recommendation.
Go with your instincts. Right on.
Yeah.
So you're telling me Ottawa players are not big Marvel movie fans?
I mean, from the ones I've talked to, they just seem to brush it off. And I don't know why, but.
Okay, fair enough. To be fair, I'm not a Marvel movie guy, but I get it. I get the appeal. I get the appeal. I get it. They're events.
Great.
They're events. Okay, exactly. Chris, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy Madrid.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.